This episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship is brought to you by Secure Give, the leading provider of safe and simple giving software for churches and charities that can be implemented through kiosks, online, mobile app, and text-to-give options. It's designed to grow your giving, save you time, and reach more people. Learn more at securegive.com. Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. This is a show where we talk all about what it looks like to manage this life God's way and for God's glory. Typically, it is a call-in show, and today we have a special guest, but please know you can call in at any time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and just leave a voicemail and let us know your question. And our team will try their very best to get back with you. The number is 866-357-3283. Again, it's 866-357-3283. Or you can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Again, that's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Now, today, I am so honored to have the one and only Michael Hyatt in the studio to drop some serious wisdom on y'all. If you're not familiar with Michael Hyatt, he is the former chairman and CEO of Thomas Nelson Publishers, the largest faith-based publisher in the world, now part of HarperCollins. He is a New York Times best-selling author. His blog, MichaelHyatt.com, is ranked by Google in the top 0.5% of all blogs in the world. And his messages of leadership and personal development and productivity reach people in over 200 countries. So I can't wait for y'all to hear him. Before we dive into our feature conversation today, I have some more ridiculously amazing news for you. Did you know that we are giving away $5,000 each week this month right here at Ramsey Solutions? Well, now you do. And I know we're all saving money for something, so if you're looking to add to that savings, head over to stewardship.com today and click the $20,000 rainy day giveaway to enter for a chance to win. Well, without further ado, I'd love to introduce you to my friend, Michael Hyatt. Michael, thanks for being on the show today.
Thanks, Chris. Delighted to be with you.
Yeah, it's such an honor to have you here.
Thank you.
I met Michael Hyatt down in Orlando about a year and a half ago. I went to his SCORE conference, which was absolutely phenomenal. It's been very helpful for me. But let's just start right at the title of the book. You tell people to stop drifting. And I know none of our audience, of course, no one listening in has any problem with drifting, I'm sure. But if somebody were to know somebody that drifts, what does it look like? What does drifting look like in our lives?
Yeah, well, this really came from an experience I had in Hawaii after I'd been married about 10 years. So Gail, my wife, now 37 years, we flew to Hawaii. We got there. We didn't have a lot of money to spend. We spent all of our money getting there. Mm-hmm. And we decided that we were going to go snorkeling. So we took some lessons. They took us out on the reef. It was an amazing experience. So we rented some snorkeling gear for $10 for the whole week. Next morning after the lessons, we went out into the lagoon that was adjacent to the hotel, and we started paddling around, and it was amazing. I mean, there's all these multicolored fish, and the seaweed was just kind of flowing with the current, and it was just beautiful. And we got totally distracted, captivated by what we were seeing. Next time we pulled up our heads, we'd been caught in a riptide, and it drifted far out to sea. So we looked back, and the hotel looked like a postage stamp in the distance. And my wife looked up. We had a boogie board with us, fortunately. She said, "What are we going to do?" And I said, "We're going to swim as hard as we can for as long as we can and try to get back." And it took us about 45 minutes, and we finally got back to shore, drug ourselves up on the beach, and collapsed. And until last fall, we hadn't been snorkeling since. But that's become a metaphor, really, for us in the book for what drifting means. You know, nobody ever drifted to a destination they would have chosen. And that happens in our marriages, it happens in our health, it happens in our careers, but it happens when we get distracted, when we get captivated by what's, you know, the busyness of life, and we just start drifting to a destination that we wouldn't choose. And so, you know, nobody wakes up in the morning and says, I think I'm going to put on a lot of weight until it becomes a problem, and maybe I'll have a heart attack. You know, they drift there. Same thing in your marriage. You don't wake up the morning after your wedding and say, you know, I think I'm going to start getting separated from my spouse until, you know, we can't live together anymore, and then we get a divorce. That just doesn't happen. People drift there. And so drifting is really the villain in the story, and that's the thing we have to counteract with some planning.
Now, for you personally, obviously you just spent a lot of time putting together this work. Does this mean something for you, you know, specifically, personally? Like,
yeah.
You've seen this in your life ever before?
Yeah, totally.
Michael Hyatt drifted, folks.
I did.
He's drifted before. he actually makes mistakes. Wow.
No, this really came out of my experience, because in the year 2000, I was an executive at Thomas Nelson Publishers, and they put me in charge as a general manager of one of the 14 divisions that we had at the company. And that division just happened to be dead last of all 14 divisions in every metric imaginable, you know, profitability, sales growth, everything else. And so my boss, the CEO, said to me, how long is it going to take to turn this division around? And I just picked a number out of the air and I said, probably 3 years. Uh-huh. And so then I went to work with my team. We were able to go from number 14 to number one in 18 months.
Wow.
But at considerable cost. Because what happened was I was on the road constantly. You know, I stopped working out, started eating a lot of junk food, and started drifting in my health. Ended up in the ER 3 times, thinking I was having a heart attack. I wasn't, thankfully. Yeah. It was just stress. I felt like I was disconnected from my wife and from my family, mm-hmm. and I was just drifting. So I went to one of our authors, John Maxwell, and I said, John, I need to address this. This kind of life that I'm living is not sustainable. I'm really drifting.
Yeah.
And he said, I've got the ticket for you. And he introduced me to Daniel Harkavy, who's my co-author, who became my executive coach for a decade. And the first thing that Daniel did is we sat down and we began to rough out a life plan. You know, where did I want to end up with my health? Where did I want to end up with my marriage, my career, all the rest? And so I just got very intentional with it. So it came out of that background of drifting, this whole life planning idea.
Folks, I am talking with Michael Hyatt about his new book, Living Forward, A Proven Plan to Stop Drifting and Get the Life That You Want. He co-authored it with Daniel Harkavy, an incredible resource. We would love for you to go to stewardship.com. We'll provide all the links right there, one-stop shop, where you can find all the links for Michael Hyatt and everything he's doing.
We know that church leaders have big vision to impact lives, but usually don't have enough resources to make it happen. So if you can make it easier to create a culture of generosity in your church, wouldn't you do it? Secure Give is a leading provider of safe and simple giving software that can be implemented through kiosks, online, mobile app, and text-to-give options. It also has direct integration with the most popular church management systems, allowing automatic reconciliation. Nearly one-third of the top 100 churches in the U.S. use Secure Give. It's designed to grow your giving, save you time, and reach more people. Learn more at securegive.com.
I don't know if you are feeling stuck, or maybe you felt stuck recently. Maybe you're in a slump. But folks, we have Michael Hyatt in the studio today, and he has a plan, a new resource out for us that he co-authored with Daniel Harkavy, and it's called Living Forward, A Proven Plan to Stop Drifting and Get the Life That You Want. And it just sounds so appealing to me personally. This is a very step-by-step guide. It's got proven principles in it. Can you give us a little bit of a sneak peek into some of these steps?
Yeah, it's really organized around 3 questions. Mm-hmm. So the first question is, how do you want to be remembered? The second question is, what is important to you? Now, you probably know what's important to your spouse or your boss or somebody else, but what's important to you? What are the priorities that you're going to use to filter out the opportunities that come your way so that you do what matters most and don't end up with, like you were talking about, no margin in your life? Mm-hmm. And the third question is taking real assessment of where you are and saying, how do I get from where I am to where I want to be in every area of my life? And so the plan is a brief plan. You know, it's not like one of those big strategic plans like we've all created in probably lives past that sits on the shelf and never gets implemented. But this is a brief plan, 8 to 15 pages, that's about you. It's created by you and for you. And I think it's really the ultimate stewardship of how we're going to steward this life that we've been given so that we can ultimately hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
You know, you think about just budgeting, just for instance. You've got such a great parallel here. You put this vision on the wall. This is where we want to go. This is what retirement looks like. This is what vacations look like. This is the way being a grandparent looks like. And I know this is very real for you with the grandkids. But then you back it down, give yourself some benchmarks, and then you say, okay, what does that mean for my money this month? What does it mean for our money this quarter? And of course, we know it's not really our money. It's God's money that we get to manage. But such an important concept. Now, this life plan, I want to dive a little bit more into it.
Okay,
so what did this look like? I want to know some more about Michael Hyatt's life plan. We got you kind of on the hot seat for a second. What are some of the major findings that you found?
Well, one of the things we talk about, and I think one of the most useful exercises is this first question, how do you want to be remembered? Mm-hmm. It's kind of the ultimate question, because the truth is, we're all going to die. But the lie of our culture is that we're going to live forever, and therefore nothing is urgent. We don't really need to attend to the important things. We'll have time for that later. But the truth is, you know, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that we need to get focused on what matters most. So what we encourage people to do is to imagine they were to die today. It's a little bit of a morbid thought. But even Steve Jobs said that death was the best tool he ever encountered for dealing with the most important decisions of life. So imagine you were to die today. And it was your funeral. And there on the front row is your family.
Yeah.
And then your friends behind that, maybe some of your colleagues from work behind that. What would they say about you today? And for a lot of people, it's not what they'd like them to say. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe there's a gap somewhere in the relationship with their kids or the relationship with their spouse or how they're perceived at work. Mm-hmm. But the good news is, and this is where we turn the corner in this chapter, you're not dead yet.
Yeah.
You're still alive. And therefore, there's an opportunity for you to improve, to grow, to become a better steward over what you've been given. Mm-hmm. So then we talk about creating some legacy statements where you talk about how you want to be remembered by the most important people in your life. So, and we give several examples of that in the book. So here's one that is by a guy named Chad. He says, I want to be remembered as a father who is deeply involved in their lives, talking about his kids. Mm-hmm. I want them to think of how I would be able to talk about anything. I want them to remember how I was intentional in leading our family. I want them to remember how I would teach them through memorable experiences. And I want to be known by the focused attention I gave to them. So to really think about that,
yeah,
you know, how do I want these people that I love so much to remember me? Mm-hmm. And we can engineer those memories beginning today. My father-in-law died in 2005, and I went to his funeral. He was an Air Force colonel, full military funeral, you know, the jets flying overhead and the 21-gun salute, all that stuff. But it was after the funeral that was interesting to me, because we went back to my house. It was all the family, close friends, and for about 8 hours, we looked through pictures, and we talked about what this man meant. We talked about how he loved us, how he had been faithful, what he meant to us, his witness for Christ. He'd come to Christ later in life, but it had an incredible ministry. And I realized then that we have the opportunity to engineer those memories now. If we're faithful stewards of what we've been given, we can begin to build those memories so that at the end of our days, people have a memory of us that is of a good and faithful steward.
Mm-hmm. Well, Michael, let's look into, obviously, question one is a pretty powerful one. How do we want to be remembered? But, you know, question number two, what matters most to you? We talk a lot about values on this show. So break down that question for us.
Yeah, so this is really a question about priorities. And one of the lies of our culture is that you can do everything. Well, the truth is you can do anything you want. You just can't do everything you want. And that means you got to make choices. And wherever you're at in your life is a result of the choices that you've made up until this point, largely.
Yeah.
And so what we encourage people to do is identify a set of priorities so that when push comes to shove, they're choosing the right things. So for example, for me, obviously as a Christian, God is my number one priority. Mm. My second priority, and this is a surprise to a lot of people, especially Christians, it's me. And here's why. If I don't take care of myself, I can't serve anybody. Mm. You know, if I have a heart attack, or if I'm sick, I'm not much use to anyone.
Yeah.
If my marriage blows up, it's going to impact my work. Mm-hmm. If my business goes bankrupt, it's going to impact a lot of people. So I got to take care of myself. My third priority is my wife, My fourth, my kids, and then it goes down, you know, fifth is my work. But a real practical example of this, during the recession, you know, I was at Thomas Nelson as the CEO, and, you know, it was hand-to-hand combat. We were trying to survive the economic turmoil at the time. And I needed a vacation badly. So I had cleared it with the board, and we left on a Friday afternoon to go to Colorado to spend a little time in the wilderness unplugged. When I hit Dallas to change planes, I made the mistake of checking my email. And there was an email from the chairman of the board, and he said, hey, change of plans. We're going to be there on Monday in your offices, and we need you to be there.
Oh, wow.
My heart sunk.
Yeah.
And I showed the message to Gail, my wife. She looked at it, and she said, honey, you do what you need to do. I know this is a tough decision, but whoever you decide, I'm with you. So if you have to go back to Nashville, it's okay. I said, no, I've got a clear set of priorities. And my priorities are God first, me second. I need the rest. I need to get rejuvenated, and I need to connect with her. And so I wrote a message back to the chairman, and I said, I'm sorry, I can't be there. Like I told you, I'm going on vacation. I said, if you insist on coming, fine. I hope you'd postpone this, but if you insist on coming, the staff will meet with you. They can answer your questions. So I didn't know what happened for a week.
Oh my goodness.
So I got back to the office, and so I asked my team, I said, did they come in? They said, yeah, they came in. I said, what was it about? They were like, I don't remember, but I know that we all thought we could have answered it by email. It was like a non-event.
Oh my goodness.
I almost scuttled my entire vacation, connecting with my wife, taking care of myself. If I hadn't had a clear set of priorities, that's probably what I would have done.
Yeah.
But when you have clear priorities, it enables you to say no to the things that are non-essential, so you can say yes to the things that are truly important.
That is huge. All this talk about living forward and having a proven plan reminds me of an interesting time in my life. I remember it like it was yesterday. After the recession hit and some bad real estate investments sapped our emergency fund, my wife Holly and I had to start all over, start rebuilding our finances from scratch. It was a rough time for my family. But God sustained us and blessed our efforts. We're on the other side now, and we've actually grown closer as a couple because of it all. Maybe you're there now. Maybe you're worried about an emergency that you couldn't pay for. Maybe you're in debt. Or, you know, maybe you're wanting to invest for retirement, trying to send your kids to college all at the same time. Well, if you are, I am proof that it is possible to claw your way out. Sometimes it takes a little bit of an encouragement to accomplish something that seems impossible. So I want to give you the same opportunity that Holly and I had. You've heard me talk about Financial Peace University, the class that God used to change my life. If you go to stewardship.com, sign up to receive the newsletter, we'll send you the first lesson of Financial Peace University, the lesson all about saving up that emergency fund. And check this out, we're going to send it to you for free. So we want to encourage you and guide you through this journey, because really, all this talk about money is not about worshiping the provision, but worshiping the provider by stewarding his provision. So head over to stewardship.com, sign up for the newsletter to get that first lesson right there in your inbox, and you can start saving right away. Folks, I am talking with Michael Hyatt about his new book, Living Forward, A Proven Plan to Stop Drifting. When you're out, you travel a ton all around the country. Where have you seen drifting? Where do you see it? Maybe it's in the media. Maybe you see it in your relationships with your friends or family. Where are you seeing it most often?
Honestly, everywhere. Mm-hmm. I think it's the default life. I think most people are drifting. Mm-hmm. And I think if most people are honest, they're not where they want to be.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Gail and I looking up from having our heads down when we were snorkeling and realizing, oh my gosh, this is not how I expected or where I expected to be at this point in my life.
Yeah.
It may be in their financial life. It may be there in their marriage. And then people settle. Mm-hmm. You know, they just think, you know, I've got the marriage I've got.
Yeah.
But it can be infinitely better with a little intention, with a little work, with a little planning. Same thing with our health. You know, I meet people all the time, and we see this in churches a lot, you know, where people are out of shape, overweight, constantly tired, fatigued, don't have the energy to do what they've been called to do. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be that way. And I think we've got to get sick and tired of being sick and tired and say, this status quo, this default life is no longer acceptable. And I think particularly for those of us who are believers, it's not acceptable. I think God expects more of us. I think he expects us to be stewards. And I do think we're going to give an account, you know, for the condition of all these things that he's been given us. It's not just our money. You know, money's part of it, but it's our whole life.
What I'm hearing here is it's not a lack of focus on the what's important. It's more of a hyper-focus on what's not important. For instance, when you were doing the snorkeling, you hyper-focused on something, but you know, safety and awareness of where you're at and all those kind of things. It wasn't necessarily that you weren't paying attention to that. It's that you were super focused on something else.
That's a good distinction. And I think that happens to us today. You know, it's like when you're on the internet and you go just to check your Facebook updates, you know, your news feed.
Me? I would never do that.
I'm not talking about you specifically.
Okay.
But for that mythical person out there, and they click on a link.
Yeah.
And they go to a blog post, and they start reading that, and they click on another link.
Yes.
And before long, 2 hours are gone.
Yeah.
And they didn't mean to not pay attention to their spouse or be distracted from giving full focus to their kids. It's just that they got distracted. And what we advocate in the book is taking a full day to pull away and create this plan. You know, it's not something you can do piecemeal. You've got to, you know, lift your head up.
Yeah.
And you've got to get focused. It's like the 30,000 foot view of your life.
Yeah.
So you're looking at, okay, given the current trajectory, where am I going to end up? It's almost like if I fast forward back in the days of cassette tapes, if I fast forward this, where is it going to end up? You know, where's it going to end up? If I don't change the patterns in my health, in my marriage, my career, my finances, whatever it is, my friendships, where am I going to end up 20 years from now? And is that a destination I'm comfortable with? Because it's not usually something that's massive that takes us to a wrong destination.
Yeah.
It's these incremental little decisions that happen day in and day out that lead us to a place that we don't want to go.
I think your analogy of the snorkeling was a little bit less convicting than you had to bring out the technology. And I think that really that kind of got everybody right in the gut. I don't know where you're at today, where you're at in the country or the world. But obviously, we know in this country that distraction specifically is really getting in the way of a lot of our most intimate relationships. So that's a powerful analogy for sure.
You know, I get really distracted by politics. Mm-hmm. For me, that's kind of like sports.
Yeah.
But the truth is, all that stuff is in what Dr. Covey called your circle of concern, but not your circle of influence. You know, there's very little I can do to impact all this global stuff that's out there. I can worry about it. Mm-hmm. I can be distracted by it. I can pay a lot of attention to it instead of the things that are important, the things that matter most. But when I look inside my circle of influence, I can have a measurable impact on the things that matter most if I can just get my eyes off those distractions and get focused on what's truly important.
Let's say that there's somebody listening in, and let's say it's Lisa or Steve, okay? And they just closed the last page of your book. What would you want their takeaway to be?
I'd want them to have a day on the calendar when they're going to put together their life plan.
Okay.
And so they've just said, you know what? I want to be intentional. I want to be a good steward of my life. I want to end up in a place that I would have chosen. And so I'm going to take this one day. Now think about this. The average person spends about 2 weeks planning a vacation. The average bride spends 39 days planning her wedding, which will last maybe an hour plus the reception.
Come on, bring it.
Right?
Bring it.
And the average person spends 5 days just doing the research to buy a car.
Mm.
And all we're asking for is one day to plan your life. So if people could walk away from this is our call to action. If they could walk away from this and get a day on the calendar and to really think deeply about their life, if you walk through this process, and we've taken thousands of people through it, you'll come out the other end with an 8 to 15 page life plan that will act like a rudder on your life so that you're not just, you know, drifting on the ocean and not wondering where you're going to go, but you're going to have a direction. Doesn't mean that God can't intervene. Doesn't mean that bad things don't occasionally happen. But you've got a plan. You've got a place that you can go back to when those things happen to get back on the road.
Folks, I am talking with Michael Hyatt about his new book, Living Forward, A Proven Plan to Stop Drifting and Get the Life That You Want. He co-authored it with Daniel Harkavy, and an incredible resource. Michael, do you have anything? Don't you have a workbook that goes with it as well?
Yeah, we do. In fact, if you get it now at livingforwardbook.com, there's an action guide that comes with it for free.
Okay, livingforwardbook.com. And Michael, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Chris.
I appreciate it. Well, yes, a huge thanks to Michael for creating another great work for us to grow from, The book again is called Living Forward, A Proven Plan to Stop Drifting and Get the Life That You Want. And I'm holding a signed copy of the book right now, and I want to give it away, a signed copy. All you have to do is head over to my Twitter, and of course follow if you're not already, shame on you, right? Then tweet me at Chris Brown on Air, that's my handle, Chris Brown on Air, and say, I'm serious about living forward because, and then fill in the blank. I'm serious about living forward because, and you need to include the hashtag living forward. And then you'll be entered into the drawing to win. Drawing is cut off at 4 p.m. Central Time this Friday, May 13th. Again, you're going to go to Twitter, Chris Brown on Air, and say, I'm serious about living forward because, and of course, include the hashtag living forward. Of course, we have links at stewardship.com for all of you wanting to connect more with Michael. With Michael Hyatt, right next to this episode. And we'll have Michael's website on there, his social handles, all that good stuff. And hopefully that'll help you out. And while you're there at stewardship.com, don't forget to enter the $20,000 rainy day giveaway. Again, we're giving away $5,000 to one person each week this month. I don't know what you're saving for, but I do know that $5,000 will help you. So go to stewardship.com, click the link, submit your information, and you will be all entered to win. Well, as always, it has been an absolute pleasure to serve you today. On behalf of our entire team here at Ramsey Solutions, we pray that this show has blessed you and helped you in your pursuit to live this life forward by living it God's way and not for your glory, but for His glory. God bless you.